Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. 9 days of Ramadan have so quickly slipped. And this evening we ponder on the 10th chapter of the Quran. It is a very loaded chapter, and any attempt at summarizing or displaying all of it will not be feasible within the allotted time. We have the remaining part of Surah Al-Anfal that you heard about last evening, and this is its completion, which is considered to be the military surah. It is the surah of battle in the Quran. And at the beginning, it mentions Al-Anfal, that is what Muslims take the booty from battle after fighting the kuffar, the war spoils. And as you know, Al-Anfal usually go to the soldiers except for 20%. One-fifth of the Anfal goes to the state to be used as budget for running the state. At the time, of course, there was no regular army, and each individual was responsible for arming himself and sustaining himself. And it was fair that if they want something from the enemy, it should go to them, excluding that 20% which would go into the budget. And this sets the difference between Anfal and the Fay. Fay is what you win from the enemy without fighting. You go to people, you surround them, etc., and they either flee or surrender, but no fighting was there. And this fay goes to the state, goes to the Prophet, all of it to use it in the ways he sees feasible. The surah, or both surahs, somehow, as you must have noticed, they are not separated by Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The following surah, Surah Tawbah, follows immediately after Anfal without starting with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, as if there were that continuity between the two surahs, and also to give the flavor of the purpose of the second surah, At-Tawbah, which starts with an ultimatum, a military ultimatum to the mushriks, as we will cover later on. The Battle of Badr is commented on, and later on the Battle of Hunayn is commented on. In Badr there were 300 Muslims fighting an army of over 1,000. In Hunayn, the Islamic army was 12,000. And they won victory in Badr with the 300. And they were defeated, or almost defeated, in Hunayn with the 1,200. The Muslims said, well, لَنُغْلَبَ الْيَوْمَ عَنْ قِلَّةِ, will not be beaten because we are so many. But the theme here is that it is not a matter of numbers. The quality overrules the quantity. And we feel sad when we say we are 1 billion Muslims in the world. It is not a matter of number. We feel perhaps proud when they say that Islam is the fastest growing religion, etc. We don't lack the numbers. I think we are overnumbered. And it is amazing that in Badr, when the Muslims were few, they got victory. In Hunayn, when the Muslims were 12,000, they were defeated until the extra baggage was removed and they fled away. And the people stood fast with the Prophet. And only when the Muslims became few again did they win the battle, because there was so much dilution by hypocrites. They find Islam victorious they want to go with it, they join Islam without the depth of Iman in their heart. In the Battle of Badr, Allah enjoins the mu'min, giving them 8 admonitions. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِذَا لَقِيتُمْ فِئَةً, when you go and face the enemy, number one, فَثْبُتُوا, stand fast, don't flee away. Number two, وَذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا, remember Allah much. And you know that we commented some time ago about the remembrance of Allah. The remembrance of Allah is the vitamin that puts life in you. When Allah says about the prayers, the first rukn in Islam, the first pillar, and Allah says, إن الصلاة تنهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر ولا ذكر الله أكبر. The prayer protects you from falling into abominations, and the remembrance of Allah is greater. And so Allah says, stand put, remember Allah much, وَأَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ, obey Allah and the Prophet, وَلَا تَنَازَعُوا فَتَفْشَلُوا, if you get fragmented, if you exfoliate, if you diverge, if you go into differences and become like what we are today, then failure would be your lot. Number four, wasbiru, be patient. Number five, Allah tells the Prophet that when you go to war, although war is the last measure, but when you go to war, fight them in such a way as to put fear in the hearts of those behind them who have not come to war yet. That is, deal with them such a blow, such a strong strike, that would not only work in the battle, but would work all through the Arab Peninsula, and people will have to heed the Muslims and their strength. Number six, if there are people who are not actually fighting you, or there is a treaty between you and them, then you get evidence that they will not be honest in respecting the treaty. And you know that they are traitors. Then you may fight them, but before you do that, tell them frankly, the treatment is no good anymore, and then fight them. You have to give that warning. وَأَعِدُّ لَهُمْ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ مِنْ قُوَّتِهُمْ مِنْ رِبَاطِ الْخَيْلِ. That is number seven. Get very prepared before you go into war. And here Allah uses two words, prepare power and a prepared cavalry, رِبَاطِ الْخَيْلِ, horses. And of course, this gives us the clue that in order to apply the meaning to our present situation, it is no more horses that settle the battles, but what is meant here was prepare the last cry in the art of warring. And therefore, intelligent scholars, contemporary scholars, would say that Ribat al-Khayl is just symbolic, and that in our day we should prepare the most recent methods of defending ourselves. وَإِنْ جَنَحُوا لِلسَّلْمِ فَاجْنَحْ لَهَا. If you find that the enemy are leaning towards peace, at making peace, then give them that opportunity. It is not a war of vengeance or bitterness or just hatred. You are the surgeon's knife, putting things aright. And if the enemy have changed their enmity and show any signs of going to peace, then do not waste that opportunity. And Allah promises him, if they want to betray you, do not forgo your idealism. And if they turn out to be cheats, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect you. وَإِنْ يُرِيدُوا أَنْ يَخْدَعُوكَ فَإِنَّ حَسْبَكَ اللَّهُ هُوَ الَّذِي أَيَّدَكَ. Allah is sufficient for you. He is the one who supported you. And the surah explains, how did Allah support the Prophet? Number one, بِنَصْرِهِ, with his victory. Number two, by the mu'mins, because the victory of Allah includes other soldiers and the human beings. Allah sends angels to fight the enemy. So this is his victory with its various ways. And supported you with the believers, al-mu'mineen. And supported you by joining together and combining and converging the hearts of the Muslims, so that they become one hand and they cling to the rope of Allah and are not divided as Muslims are today. The quality and the quantity is beautifully illustrated by Allah saying that if there are 20 of you who are really patient, really mu'min, they can defeat 200, 1 to 10. If you are 1,000, if you are 100, you can defeat 1,000. And this is the quality of the mu'mins. This is the normal divine proportion. But sometimes the mu'mins get weak or feel weak or get ill or feel depraved. Yet it is a matter of quality, because Allah says, الْآنَ عَلِمَ أَنَّ فِيكُمْ ضَعْفًا. الْآنَ خَفَّفَ اللَّهُ عَنْكُمْ وَعَلِمَ أَنَّ فِيكُمْ ضَعْفًا. فَإِنْ يَكُنْ مِنْكُمْ مِئَةٌ يَغْلُبُ مَئَتَيْنِ, 1 to 2. Even when you are weak, you will still have the edge of iman that will make you defeat double your number. Of course, if you ask the question, let us look, how come we are 1 billion Muslims? How come we are defeated? But as we said before, these are the believers, these are the mu'mins. And if you scan the Quran and prepare a list with the description of the mu'mins, the features of the mu'mins, and try to match us to that list, you will find that as a Muslim ummah, we stand too short of that. No wonder we are at the receiving end of defeat. And if we say, how come we are defeated and we are better than our enemy, then remember the saying of Omar, it is not your enemy I fear, it is your own sins. Don't say we are better than the enemy, because Allah might punish a people by the hands of people worse than them. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the relative, the grading of the mu'mins. The best of them are al-muhajirun wal-ansar, those who did the hijrah with the Prophet, those who received them, and a space later, those who came later on. Then there is a verse that says, وَأُولُوا الْأَرْحَامِ أَوْلَى وَأُولُوا الْأَرْحَامِ بَعْضُهُمْ أَوْلَى بِبَعْضٍ فِي كِتَابِ اللَّهِ. The blood relatives, the kin, the family, qualify to one another's favors. And that was because when the Muhajireen came to Medina, the immigrants from Mecca, and the Ansar took them as brothers, some of the Ansar wanted to consider the Muhajir as a family member, so that when he dies, then his brother, the Muhajir, would inherit. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala corrected this, confining the inheritance to the laws of inheritance as we know them in Islam. Moving to Surah At-Tawbah, that is the surah without Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim at the beginning of it. And at the time the Muslims were undergoing the pilgrimage, but the Prophet was not with them. The leader of the pilgrimage that year was Abu Bakr. And when this surah was revealed, the Prophet sent Ali ibn Abi Talib to read it to the Muslims. And when he arrived and Abu Bakr saw him, he asked him, are you a replacement to me or are you just a messenger? And he said, well, I am a messenger. I come with Surah At-Tawbah. And he read the Surah and it begins, giving the mushriks a grace period of 4 months. And after that, Al-Haram, Mecca and around, would be closed to mushriks. And you have 4 months ahead of you. Unless there is a treaty with a certain people, then fulfill the treaty so that if the treaty goes to 8 months, a year or more, this has to be respected. And then after that, you have to find them, because Allah knows that if you don't, they will fight you. And they were plotting to kill the Prophet. But even then, the nobility of Islam is illustrated in the verse that says, وَإِنْ أَحَدٌ مِّنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ اسْتَجَارَكَ فَأَجِرْ حَتَّى يَسْمَعَ كَلَامَ اللَّهِ ثُمَّ أَبْلِغْهُ مَأْمَنَهُ ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّهُمْ قَوْمٌ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. When one of the mushriks in a crisis would come to you and ask you to shelter him, save me, help, and he's a mushrik, the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is give him shelter, give him safety until he listens to the Quran, kalam Allah, until he hears the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then take him to a place he would be safe in. Take him to safety. And then it will be up to him to embrace Islam or reject it. And this is the nobility of Islam that one can see no parallel to in any other creed. The whole idea of war in Islam, Allah could have smited the kafirs, but in order to show those who do the jihad and were honest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to the Prophet, and to make the difference and discrimination between the mu'min and the hypocrite or the non-mu'min. And when you expel the mushriks out of the haram, out of Mecca, they say, how come? We are serving the holy mosque. We are upkeeping the holy mosque and doing the maintenance. We are giving water to the pilgrims, etc., etc. But this is not to be accepted, because to offer water or to maintain the mosque while your heart is not mu'min is of no avail. But those who really can maintain the mosque, the mosques, are those who believe in Allah and the last day, those who uphold the prayers, those who give the zakat, those who fear none but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah offers a measure to us in order to measure our iman, a standard, a litmus test. And that takes the following form. قُلْ إِنْ كَانَ آبَاؤُكُمْ. Say, if your sons, وَأَبْنَاؤُكُمْ, if your fathers, or your sons, or your brothers, or your consorts, or your tribe, or your wealth, or your commerce, or your beautiful homes, more loved by you than Allah and His Apostle, then you just wait. And Allah will give His order, and Allah will not guide those who are fasiq. And this is the measure. If one of you would like to see whether he's a mu'min or not, قُلْ إِنْ كَانَ آبَاؤُكُمْ وَأَبْنَاؤُكُمْ وَإِخْوَانُكُمْ وَأَزْوَاجُكُمْ وَعَشِيرَتُكُمْ وَأَمْوَالٌ اقْتَرَفْتُمُوهَا وَتِجَارَةٌ تَخْشَوْنَ كَسَادَهَا وَمَسَاكِنُ تَرْضَوْنَهَا أَحَبَّ إِلَيْكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَجِهَادٍ فِي سَبِيلِهِ فَتَرَبَّصُوا حَتَّى يَأْتِيَ اللَّهُ بِأَمْرِهِ وَاللَّهُ لَا يَهْدِي الْقَوْمَ الْفَاسِقِينَ. Then there is a commentary on the Battle of Hunayn, where the Mu'min were conceited by their number, and there is a subtle description about the situation of the Munafiqeen that will be exposed in yet another battle to come, which is the Battle of Tabuk. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala discloses the features of the Munafiqeen, and the surah specifies 20 features, 20 patterns of Munafiqeen. Those who come to you and say, forgive me, I have compelling circumstances, I cannot come to you to war. And amazingly enough, the Prophet gave them permission, all right. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rebukes him, عَفَى اللَّهُ عَنْكَ لِمَا أَذِنْتَ لَهُمْ. Allah says, may Allah forgive you, Prophet, how come you gave them permission? And then, the battle is near and you find no trace of them preparing for it, because it was their intention from the beginning not to go. Some of them would go to the Prophet and says, oh, you are going to north, up north, and there will be the beautiful Roman women, and I am a man who is vulnerable to the temptation by women, so please excuse me and forgive me for not joining you to the battle. If something harms you, they feel happy in their heart. And they would say, well, we're wise enough not to go with them. And Allah, of course, enjoins the Prophet to say that beautiful verse, قُلْ لَنْ يُصِيبَنَا إِلَّا مَا كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَنَا. It is not just a verse, it is a slogan, it is a wisdom, it is something to keep in your heart and in your life for good. Nothing will afflict us except something Allah has written on us. وَلَا يَأْتُونَ الصَّلَاةَ إِلَّا هُمْ كُسَالَةَ. When there is call to prayer and all the Muslims want to go to pray, they feel lazy, they feel heavy. وَلَا يُنْفِقُونَ إِلَّا وَهُمْ كَارِهُونَ. You ask for money, like Brother Samir asked you to give money, and yet they seem to hate it, and the result is not as satisfactory to Brother Samir. I hope tonight will be better. وَيَحْلِفُونَ بِاللَّهِ إِنَّهُمْ مِنْكُمْ لَمِنْكُمْ وَمَا هُمْ مِنْكُمْ. They swear by Allah, we are with you, but the reality, they are not with you. لَوْ يَجِدُونَ مَهْرَبًا فِي مَغَارَةٍ أَوْ مُدَّخَلًا. If they go with you and can flee to a cave or some safe place, they would have done so. وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَلْمِزُكَ فِي الصَّدَقَاتِ فَإِنْ أُعْطُوا مِنْهَا رَضُوا وَإِنْ لَمْ يُعْطَوْا مِنْهَا إِذَا هُمْ يَسْخَطُونَ. Some of them would accuse you and negatively allude to you as you distribute the charity. They say this is not fair. Only when you give them, they get satisfied. Imagine accusing the Prophet that he's not fair. وَمِنْهُمُ الَّذِينَ يُؤْذُونَ النَّبِيَّ وَيَقُولُونَ هُوَ أُذُنٌ. They say, this man is all but ears. He's always listening to whatever people tell them. And Allah says, قُلْ هُوَ أُذُنُ خَيْرٌ. He listens with the intention of goodness. يَحْلِفُونَ بِاللَّهِ لَكُمْ لِيُرْضُوكُمْ. In order to just satisfy you, they are willing to swear by Allah without being truthful. They are always apprehensive lest a surah from the Quran be revealed that depicts their reality and uncovers them. يَحْذَرُ الْمُنَافِقُونَ أَن تُنَزَّلَ عَلَيْهِمْ سُورَةٌ تُنَبِّئُهُمْ بِمَا فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ. Sometimes they mock the Muslims or mock the Quran, and you ask them, why did you do that? Why that mockery? And they say, no, we were just joking. And the Quran says, وَلَئِنْ سَأَلْتَهُمْ لَيَقُولُونَ إِنَّمَا كُنَّا نَخُوضُ وَنَلْعَبُ. We're just joking. There is no joke with Allah, no joke with the religion, no joke with the Quran. And then they want one color, men and women. enjoining evil and forbidding good. And then يحلفون بالله ما قالوا ولقد قالوا كلمة الكفر. They, when they are alone, they would say, we are just following Muhammad, we are lying to him, you are cheating him. And then they come and swear, we never said that. But they did say it. ومنهم من عاهد الله لئن آتانا من فضله لنصدقن ولنكونن من الصالحين. That was a man who went to the Prophet and said, pray for me, ask Allah for me to make me wealthy. So Allah made him wealthy, and his sheep procreated, and he became a wealthy man, and he had to take a grazing area outside Medina, and then he was so occupied with his growing wealth that he ceased to come to the Jama'ah prayer, and then he became so obsessed with his wealth and loving for it that he ceased to give sadaqat. And this is a sign of hypocrisy. And then they would mock the Mu'mins who are giving for charity. If a poor man would give little, they would say, what is that little? What is a dollar? What a little? If a rich man gives much, they say, he's just making a scene. He is just preparing and pretending, etc., etc. وقالوا لا تنفروا في الحر قل نار جهنم أشد حر. This is a good one. No, don't go to battle, don't go to war, because the weather is hot. And Allah tells him, tell them that the fire of hell is even hotter. In contrast to this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala depicts the features of the mu'min. والمؤمنون والمؤمنات بعضهم أولياء بعض. The Mu'min men and the Mu'min women are wali to one another. And the word wali has no equivalent word in the English language, probably in any language. Because wali can mean friend. Wali can mean confident. Allahu waliyyi, God is my wali. Ana waliyullah. Wali is, he has authority on me. Wali is, I have authority in him. And this is a very loaded word which describes the relation between al-mu'minun al-mu'minin al-mu'minat. And this relation is manifested in ya'muruna bil-ma'ruf, they enjoin good, wa yanhauna 'anil munkar, they forbid evil, which is a qarina here, this is circumstantial evidence. If both men and women would enjoin good and forbid evil, then there is no premise at all to isolate women from managing and participating in the welfare of the community at large. وَيُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةِ, they keep the prayers. وَيُؤْتُونَ الزَّكَاةِ, they pay the zakat. وَيُطِيعُونَ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهِ, they obey Allah and His apostle. Reading this, I've been through many stages in my life. As a young person, I was all for the sword and the jihad, etc., etc. Now I still believe in that, but not with a poor quality. If we make any jihad, if we do anything with the quality we have, it is no good. And unless we begin at the beginning, the real jihad begins by making the individual Muslim a real Muslim, and take it from there. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to be that. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammad.